Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Simone Rios in for Tiziana Deering. We're only two games into the NBA Finals, and already we've experienced the thrill of victory in Game 1.
Crowd inside. Horford with the offensive rebound. Wide open Smart. Cash! And the Celtics have stormed ahead.
But we've also felt the agony of defeat in Game 2.
Golden State has a lot of time. Poole with the ball. Launches.
And that one was from about 40 feet away from the hoop. So what will Game 3 bring tomorrow night? And do the Celtics have what it takes to bring home a title? Here to help us answer those questions is NBC Sports Celtics sideline reporter Abby Chin. Abby, welcome to Radio Boston.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So general thoughts, what do you make of this series so far?
It's been fun. And exciting. Being out in San Francisco and inside Chase Center for those two games was thrilling, particularly in the fourth quarter of Game 1 when the Celtics took over and that crowd. And it felt like everyone inside the arena was just in shock. That one was really fun. Game 2, like you mentioned, not nearly as much fun for those of us who have been following the Celtics all season. But I do think it showed, and maybe even surprising a lot of people, that the Celtics do have a team to beat in this series.
Right. So, as you said, Game 1, they looked amazing. Game 2, it was like, what happened? And that's sort of how this entire playoff run has been, right? What's up with that? Are they just inconsistent? Are they still young and learning how to compete at this level?
Yeah, I think that's it. This has, like you said, been part of their entire playoff run. It has also, I mean, was a big part of their struggles earlier in the season. This is a team that has overcome so much adversity throughout the year, and they really found something through the second half and the back half of the season. And then once they got to the playoffs, some of those old habits started to rear their head. They always figure it out, and once their backs are up against the wall, they have come through, just like we saw in the two previous series. They've won in Game 7s. But yes, this team, and they talk about it all the time, so it is maddening that they can't fix it, but they struggle with success. Coming off of wins, they've had some of their worst games, particularly Game 6 in the Eastern Conference Finals against Miami. Mm. I don't think there's any question that they started hearing all that talk, everyone anointing this group, saying they were already into the NBA Finals, yeah. And so they came out and did not play well in Game 6, but then took care of business in Game 7.
That's right. Well, hopefully they can pick up where they left off there. But injuries have been a big factor. Celtics big man Robert Williams has had knee problems. He looked great in Game 1, then pretty limited in Game 2. What do you expect from him tomorrow night in Game 3? How important will he be to this team?
He is very important to this team and what they like to do defensively, especially against this quick-footed Warriors team. Unfortunately, I agree with you, he did not look like himself in Game 2, and that is disappointing considering the Celtics had 2 days off. The hope was to get Rob even more rest. When I spoke with him the day before the game, he said he was feeling good. I am concerned because the long flight back across the country, typically the planes and being crunched up. I mean, yes, the Celtics are flying on a charter, their first class seats. It's not like he's back in coach.
Not like the rest of us.
Right, exactly, with the rest of us. We're taking red eyes overnight. But he is... there's no question that time spent on that airplane and has not helped with some of the swelling and some of the pain issues that he's been dealing with. It was a surgically repaired knee on a partially torn meniscus, and then he got a bone bruise as well in that series against Milwaukee when he came back. So it is something that is going to be an issue throughout these playoffs, and I agree with you. He did not look right in Game 2, and I'm not hopeful for Game 3, actually, coming off the plane. Maybe in Game 4, we'll start to see the Time Lord as we know him.
Okay, I'll be looking for that. So everybody's talking about Draymond Green here in Boston, and I'm sure everywhere else in the country, in the world, where they watch basketball, the Warriors big man. He said a different type of tone in Game 2. talked a lot of trash, a lot of shenanigans, I want to call them. At one point, he tackled Grant Williams, and then Williams was somehow called for that foul. Then he kind of dropped Jaylen Brown as Brown was shooting a three, and then placed his feet on Brown's head, and then tried to pull his pants down and didn't get a technical. Do you expect to see more of that tomorrow night?
I do, because it worked in game two for him. And what the Celtics players said after game two was that, that's Draymond. We know what he's trying to do. This is not something that we didn't expect. It's something that they have to, and it goes back to what you said, the consistency and showing your maturity. They have to move on from that and be able to overcome it. The Warriors players did say, though, that that was inspiring to them. There's no question there was a raised level of intensity from the Warriors from game one to game two. And the Celtics are going to have to match that if they want to win in this series. But I agree with you. I was completely frustrated by Draymond Green. And the worst part of it is that he got called for a technical in the first quarter. And in the NBA, if you get called for two techs in the same game, you're out. And Draymond knew that these referees on this stage in those moments were not going to call him for a second tech and eject him for that. So he basically, it felt like, had free rein to do whatever he wanted. And that's when those other instances you mentioned occurred. So we will see how the refs adjust to that in game three, if he is allowed that much leeway. And it's pretty frustrating that he was asked about it post game and Draymond said, I've earned that leeway. And that's frustrating to feel like he can do whatever he wants. That doesn't seem right.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of people have been talking about what Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy were saying as former ref Steve Jaffe was talking about the situation. Let's hear what they had to say.
Well, Steve, my question to you is, as a referee over there in the huddle, are you thinking about the fact that Draymond has one technical already?
Absolutely. I think that's part of good officiating is the fact that you have to know who has the technical fouls. And in this situation, one of the players does. Is this enough to warrant an ejection is what you have to think about.
Okay, so we can complain about the refs and Draymond as much as we want. But at the end of the day, the Celtics need to be held accountable here. I mean, if this were the Larry Bird, Kevin McHale, Robert Parrish Celtics of the 80s, I think they'd have no problem going toe-to-toe with somebody like Draymond. I won't mention Kevin McHale clotheslining Kurt Rambis in the 84 NBA Finals. But what should the C's do to tackle this major problem?
That was an iconic moment. I would say that we have seen the Celtics are not afraid to play physical. We saw it against Giannis and the Bucks in their series, and we saw it against Miami. That was just a grind it out, smash mouth basketball series. And so there's no question the Celtics can reach that level. It is something that head coach Ime Udoka has hearkened on from the moment he took the job, and that is just that this group has some bad habits. And one of those habits is arguing with the officials, not moving on from play to play, and then allowing that frustration to boil over. And so then if shots aren't falling, and then your defense struggles. So yes, the Celtics need to overcome those things. They can't let Draymond's antics get to them. And while they know that it's coming, it certainly is a different matter when you're in the heat of the battle, but that is where that maturity will shine through. And it is, you're right, it's up to them.
I wonder too if the team's leaders, and I'm looking at Al Horford and Marcus Smart, if they need to maybe unify their message a little bit. You know, as I understand it, one was more the talking about the sword, pulling out the sword in response to Draymond, and the other one was saying turn the other cheek. Do they need to kind of get together for a leadership meeting and figure out how they want to lead this team?
That is something that has been very unique and special about this team this season, I would say. Marcus Smart had his comments all the way back in November calling out the Jays, saying that they weren't passing enough. And from that moment on, this group has really come together and held each other accountable. No one is afraid to speak up and speak their mind and stand up in those moments. And it has been a challenge from Ime Udoka to an Al Horford, who is not necessarily a rah-rah, big yelling guy, to speak up more. We know Marcus Smart will do that. But also it's on Jaylen and Jason to speak up and deliver a message as well and deliver a calming force. So, yes, I agree the message will be unified. the message needs to be unified. I have no question that it will be here going forward in game three, especially from the top down and head coach Ime Udoka, and then from Al and Marcus and everybody.
Abby Chin, you've been a basketball reporter for some time, and that grants you all kinds of access to these players that most of us watch on TV. What do you think of the team's dynamic at this point in time? What player are you looking to really make the difference, to be the X factor in these finals?
The X factor, to me, still and is always going to be Jason Tatum. He has not had his best game. We saw in game one, he was phenomenal as a playmaker with those dishing out 13 assists and passing out of the double teams. But the Warriors made adjustments, and they made it tougher for him in game two. And so, to me, the way that Jason goes is the way that these Celtics go. I don't know if that's an X factor per se, but I think, you know, unfortunately, because this is the task that he has asked for, it is a challenge that he welcomes, but it's up to Jason Tatum to star and outshine. We've seen Steph Curry carry the Warriors for long stretches of these games, and so it is going to be, I think this is the final step in Jason Tatum's official ascension to superstardom in the NBA.
Okay, well, I wish him the best of luck on that front. That's NBC Sports Celtics sideline reporter Abby Chin. Abby, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Simone Rios. This is Radio Boston.